Welcome everyone to today's podcast. My name is Dimna Boholt from www.iloverealestate.tv. Lots of good stuff on the website there for you to go and check out. And in particular, I want to talk today about the new changes that have come about trust law. Inadvertently, this is. Now, what's happened here is that because Australia's been having a lot of foreign investment in the last few years, particularly into Sydney and Melbourne, but across the board, really, the state governments have chosen to impose some state taxes to foreigners buying property in Australia. Now, what that's meant is that for land tax and stamp duty, rates have gone up if you're a foreigner. Why am I talking about this to everybody? Well, the thing is that we think, you know, this doesn't apply to us, but it actually does. It applies to us if we have a trust. Now, this is really important, and it actually requires some action by everybody who's got a trust. Because I don't believe that there's anybody in Australia, or very, very few people in Australia, who this doesn't affect. You know, it certainly affects all of my trusts, and I believe that when I explain how this actually works, it'll affect most of yours as well. Now, this does require urgent action, and you're going to have to make sure that all of your deeds and all of your old deeds and any new deeds that you're setting up in the future get amended. That's how serious this is. So let me tell you what's happened. Australia has a long history of levying or taxing anything that becomes popular. Let me go back in history a little bit. Our first taxes came into play in 1805, and it was actually a tax that was put on imports coming into the country, and it was for the specific purpose of building a jail and an orphanage in Sydney, would you believe? But this had kind of progressed, and we started to, in 1819, for instance, there was a levy put on spirits and tobacco and basically anything else that was coming into the country. Our first land tax was actually in 1877, where we started in Victoria, where they started to break up plots of land. So land tax started to become popular. Income tax was actually first introduced in South Australia, quickly followed by Tasmania and Victoria, and then ultimately then became a Commonwealth tax in 1901. But South Australia, interestingly, brought income tax in at a state level in 1884. So, you know, anything that's really been popular has been taxed. Even death. I mean, there's that saying about there's two things you can't get out of: death and taxes. Well, death tax was actually introduced into Australia in the early 1900s as well. We had death taxes, we had succession planning taxes, we even had a rum tax. I don't know too many other countries that actually had a rum tax, and that was kind of what caused the whole rum rebellion and all of those sort of things. Gold in the 1930s thereabouts, when gold was really becoming a big thing and a big wealth generator for a lot of Australians, we had a gold tax. So you can see, whatever becomes popular in this country, we seem to inevitably tax it. I heard on the news this morning that we were going to have a sugar tax. So, you know, we're all eating too much sugar, so let's tax sugar. Not that I'm for eating sugar, but, you know, it's just the way Australia has really developed. Well, what's become popular now is foreign investment. So, as you would expect, we're now going to levy or tax foreign investors coming into the country and starting to buy property in this country. To give you some idea what's happened here, we'll start with stamp duty. Now, three states at the time of recording have actually come out and issued that they are now going to be taxing foreigners at a higher stamp duty rate than residents of Australia. So Queensland has come out with a 3% extra levy for stamp duty, New South Wales 4%, and Victoria 7%. Now, they're the three majors that have come out and said that, and traditionally what happens is the rest of the country follows. But on a land tax perspective, and admittedly the dates change a little bit from state to state, but from a land tax perspective, New South Wales is charging foreign owners an extra 1.5% per annum, New South Wales 0.75%, and Victoria an extra 1.5%. Why does this affect us? Everybody's thinking. Well, let me tell you this. Most trusts, under the definitions of foreign ownership, will be considered to be foreign trusts. How does that work? Well, from state to state, the rules are a little bit different, and the definition of what a foreign person or foreign entity is also a little bit different. But predominantly, this will affect everyone in Australia. Because let's imagine we've got, say, a discretionary trust. Now, a discretionary trust is typically the primary beneficiaries who in, you know, let's say that's mum and dad. It doesn't have to be mum and dad. It can be a single individual. It does not have to be a couple. But let's say we've got a mum and dad scenario. Traditionally, in a discretionary trust, three generations all around that primary beneficiary are part of the trust. So going up the hierarchy, we've got parents, we've got grandparents and great-grandparents. From children down, we've got children, we've got grandchildren, we've got great-grandchildren. But also out to the sides, we've got sisters, we've got aunts, we've got great-aunts, and cousins, uncles, nephews, everybody else in between is included in that family group. Now, as I said before, the definitions as to what constitutes a foreign person is a little bit different in each state. But predominantly what it means is that if anybody within that family group is a foreign person or could receive a distribution from a foreign person or entity, then the trust can be classified as a foreign trust. This, guys, is an absolute nightmare, an absolute nightmare, because what it means is if you go out and buy a property in, at the moment, Queensland, Victoria or New South Wales, but I would imagine very shortly anywhere in Australia, then, and you buy it through a trust as you should for asset protection and all of those other things, then you have to have special clauses in your trust to say that no distributions can ever be distributed to a foreign person. Otherwise, your trust will be considered to be a foreign trust and you will get levied these extra stamp duty percentages. And even the ownership of existing properties in trusts will get levied with the extra land tax duty payable if they're determined to be a foreign trust. I don't believe that the state governments actually took this into account when they were drawing up their rules and regulations and putting all of these things into legislation. But that's exactly what's now happening. You know, all of these trusts now have to be amended. So if you've got any old trust deeds out there that you that own property, or you're setting up a new trust deed to go and buy a piece of property, you better make sure that you're dealing with an absolute expert in this area to make sure that you're not being caught under the foreign trust legislation. I'll give an example. My husband's Danish, so immediately all of my trusts would be considered to be foreign trusts. But let's say he wasn't. Let's say my second cousin has married a second generation Australian. So second generation, they, you know, the two generations above them have lived in Australia, they're Australian residents, all the rest of it. But within that third generational group, one of their second cousins could live overseas somewhere and make a distribution to them. And therefore, because they're out on my third run as my second cousin, that they are then included in my family group and therefore could be considered to be a foreign, my trust could then be considered to be a foreign trust. Absolute nightmare. So whether the governments come out and regulate and simplify this, understanding that the mess that they've created, or whether we all just have to go out and get new clauses inserted into our trust deeds to say that we can't distribute to foreign trusts or foreign entities. Because it really goes even further than that, because a lot of the trusts that are set up, the end of the line beneficiary, as we call them, so if everybody's all dead, all gone, or when the thing is all wound up, the beneficiary is quite often nominated as a charity. Well, surprise, surprise, charities, most of them, there's very few that don't, have the ability to be able to make donations to overseas, wherever that might be, you know, in crisis and need and whatever else. So there again, they could well be captured under this catch-all for stamp duty and land tax. Now, I put this out on a podcast. I actually did do a complete hour and a half webinar on all the ins and outs and everything else on my members only website. But even if you're not a member, one of my students, then I really felt I had to put this out through my podcast to let everybody know, because it is that serious. You could quite easily owning a property in a trust right now, you know, the June clocks around pretty quickly, and that's when, in Queensland at least, that's when they calculate the land tax payable. You could be hit with a very nasty bill of 1.5% of the current value of the property if you don't have these clauses inserted. Now, as I said, this is being looked at the moment, because I don't think any of the state governments thought about what they were doing and the implications of this with respect to trusts, and they may well amend it, but I do want you to be alerted. All of my students who are listening to this podcast, please go and see, you know, the guys that I recommend to set up all the structures and the asset protection specialists. For those who are not, you're going to have to find somebody who absolutely knows what they're talking about here, because it is something that not everybody will know about. They won't even think about it, but it is a major, major problem. So make sure that you get out there and fix all these things. I'd also like to take the opportunity to direct you all to my website, www.iloverealestate.tv. I have a lot of resources on there that are free. Now, I am constantly writing articles. I am doing videos. I've got lots and lots of free resources on there. So I really encourage you to get on to the I Love Real Estate website and subscribe, because then you'll be on the newsletter list to be able to receive all my updates on all sorts of things that come up from time to time. And make sure that also that you refer your friends to the podcast that I'm doing. Now, I do them around about every week. I'm normally up in about the top three of the in the finance section for podcasts in Australia. So there's lots of really good information that I put out on a regular basis about all sorts of topics. And I've got a series coming up very shortly of a few guests. I'm doing a super conference for all my students this weekend, actually. And I'll be recording interviews with some of my guest speakers there. And some of them, one of the property guests that I've got coming along, he made $140 million last year in property investing and developing. So I'm sure that you'll just love to hear from him. So make sure you subscribe to to iTunes and get these podcasts coming to you automatically. Tell all your friends. They're all free. Get them onto the website. Start them on the road to investing and, you know, talking the talk and getting out there and taking action and making some money. I'm going to do a little bit of an economics review too shortly on what we can expect for 2017. So I'm actually going to invite one of my mates who is, I believe, the best economist in Australia when it comes to forecasting. And in the last probably 10 odd years that that I've had him on stage and we've been chatting together, in every prediction that he's made, because he makes a prediction to all of my students every year and gives us the insight to what's going to happen in the new year and things like that. And every single year, without fail, everything that he has said has been right, has come into fruition. So, I very much trust what he's got to say, and so do all of my students. I mean, economics is really not worth anything unless you take action on it. It's one of those things that it's all very good to sit around a barbecue and philosophize about, you know, this and that and whatever else. But unless you take action on it and make a commitment and put your hard-earned money down in an investment to back yourself on what you believe, then economics is just a nice barbecue topic, and that's about all. And it's something that I know my students have made a lot of money out of over the years by taking mine and you know, some of my guest speakers' recommendations on what to do in real estate. And we're constantly in a changing market. It's something that is not static, and there are different opportunities coming up all the time. And you know, they've all got different benefits and different ways to make money and other things, but you don't make any money unless you take action. So guys, that's where I'm going to leave it this time. I know it's a little bit of a short one, but I really needed to get this out to you because I want you to take action on all of those trusts and make sure that you're sorted with that, because all the trusts need to be amended just so that we don't fall into the foreign trust catch-all for land tax and stamp duty. Not a good thing there. These levies are going to cost us an absolute fortune if you're not careful. So that's it for me, guys. I will talk to you again very, very shortly on the next podcast. Talk to you soon, guys. Bye now.